You are listening to WPVM LP 103.7 in Asheville, North Carolina.
The voice of Chris Smith.
Here's your Radio Asheville weather report. Expect a pleasant stretch of summer weather over the next several days with a mix of sunshine and clouds. There will be a few opportunities for scattered showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures will warm from around 80 into the upper 80s and near 90 before easing back into the middle 80s. Overnight lows will be comfortable, mostly in the lower to middle 60s. Overall, most days will feature plenty of dry weather with only brief interruptions from showers and storms. I'm Johnny Cottle on Radio Asheville 103.7.
When systems fail, where do you turn for truth and resilience? Welcome to the Resilience Realm with host Dawn Westmoreland, a syndicated radio talk show host, retired Air Force veteran, author, and resilience advocate. Each week, Dawn brings powerful voices, attorneys, mental health experts, veterans, and leaders sharing courage, boundaries, and real-world resilience strategies. Dawn broadcasts on the Pacifica Network and WPVM FM LP 103.7 Radio Asheville. This isn't just a show. It's a movement for courage, ethics, and justice. Tune in Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. If it's your first time, I'm so glad to have you here. You know, I created the Resilience Realm radio talk show because I realized after 6 decades of being on this earth that what people need the most is confidence and resilience. And how do you get resilience? Well, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to share a little bit of stories, but also advice. And if you're not familiar with me, I am a resilience coach. I speak on resiliency. I write books about resiliency, and I consult on it. So I remember about in 2012, I was going through one of the most difficult times of my life. I was all by myself. I'd just gone through a divorce. And I remember that I was living in this big house that I knew I wanted to eventually sell because we had divorced. I took on the payments of the house because at the time I was making more money. Anyhow, I had no idea that there were some pipe issues with my plumbing, you know, outside, and it had backed up and flooded half the house. So I obviously was devastated and I had good insurance. So I contacted the insurance and then they, you know, paid for it to be fixed. Not even 30 days later, it flooded again. It flooded again because the person who took care of the job didn't do it right. And because he didn't do it right, it flooded again. The insurance company dropped me. I thought it was the end of the world, having no house insurance whatsoever. And I remember they're just laying down in the filthy water, screaming, you know, just screaming mad at the world. I had lost it. You know, too many things had built up to that time. But what I did learn was that the best thing is whenever you're going through a hard time, a hardship, something where you do need resilience, is to stay calm. And I'll repeat this over and over, everyone. It is also, what is the next most empowering action or activity, step, goal, whatever you want to call it, that I can do or you can do if you're going through a hard time? Well, as soon as I got it together, I guess I just needed to release all the pressure in me. And I was screaming. And yes, I was laying in that dirty water, screaming bloody murder. This is twice in a month. It took a long time to get the house fixed, but it did get fixed. So what I learned is stay calm, think about it. What is the next step? Well, obviously, I had to have the renovation people come in, dry out the house, and get it ready to prepare. But the good thing in it, the silver lining in it was a 30-year-old house. And because of all the damage and it had to be repaired, you know, they had to pay for it before they dropped me, the insurance company. And about most of the house had been rebuilt all because of that water damage. So that was probably the silver lining in it all. But I also learned to be more patient and I also learned to be more resilient. It did sell. So there's a difference. is talk about setbacks and failure, okay? So a setback could have been, you know, for example, when the house was flooded, there was no way I could put it on the market, right? So it's a setback, you know, it's a time frame. I got to get it dried out. I got to get it, you know, restored again. And then there's also failure. You know, failure could be failure to get the right plumbing person in to do the job. You know, actually I had to get some experts to go out there with cameras and everything to go up the pipe. So failure would be hiring that same guy again. That would be another failure. Okay. So the most important thing that I've learned over the years and that I like to impart on everyone is a growth mindset. At the time, I was very much in the victim mode. I won't lie to you. It was right around the 2008, 2009. Remember, the economy tanked. And even though I had an almost perfect brand new house, I couldn't get rid of the house because a lot of people who wanted to buy the house, it was a nice house. It was a bi-level house, 2,500 square feet, roughly half an acre on a cul-de-sac, beautiful part of it, area of South Asheville. Couldn't almost give it away. Unfortunately, at that time, so many people had bad credit, and it wasn't always their fault. But remember what happened in 2008, 2009, we had a lot of setbacks then. So the thing when you go through a bad experience, which you can always ask yourself, and sometimes people, you know, spiritualists, people who are spiritual will say, what is this situation teaching me? Instead of why me or why is this happening to me, which is very much the mental victim mentality. And let's face it, almost everyone has been through it. There's very few people that are that highly evolved that they don't feel like a victim from time to time. Even me today, I can feel like a victim. And then I will process the feelings because I know they're temporary. What's the next best thing I can do to move forward? And that's a growth set, a mindset. And we're not talking about seeing through rosy colored glasses. We are talking about a growth mindset. You know, how can I learn from this? What can I get out of this experience? Well, that experience of going through the house, it taught me that I was far more capable than I realized. I actually, having no experience at all, sold the house by myself. And I did that because, you know, at the time, houses had tanked, and I knew that to give up even 6% interest, you know, for a realtor to sell it, that I would have a whole lot less money. Because remember, 08, 09, remember the house prices really tanked. And I sold it, and I didn't make a whole lot of money off of it, but I was able to keep all that. And that really, really matters. So think about it for a second. Do you know what a growth mindset is? What does it mean to you? Think about it for just a second. Have you ever met anybody who has turned a career setback into a new opportunity? Have you ever met anybody? Maybe they got fired. They got fired from a company and they thought it was the end of the world. And then, gosh, the next thing, they become an entrepreneur and they're doing so well. And it's a mindset. Not saying everybody has to be working for themselves to be successful. There's many successful employees and employers out there. So I know I was sharing this the other day in my mom's facility where she's at right now, her medical facility. I was talking to the receptionist, and we were talking about when we were young. And I was sharing with this lady, I'll tell you, her name was Cindy. When I was in my teens, I got fired twice, fired from jobs that were not my fault. And I was very discouraged. In fact, my stepfather was so angry about being fired. I was accused of stealing $50. It showed up later, and it wasn't, it had nothing to do with me. But the blame was placed on me. And I remember Pop, my stepfather, making me go and take a lie detector test to prove that I didn't steal it. And yeah, and I passed the lie detector test, and they did determine They found out later it was one of the security guards that took the $50, and he had later quit. So, but why am I telling you this? Because I got sick and tired of these minimum wage jobs and jobs where I didn't feel personal growth or personal challenges, you know, and I'm talking about growth challenges. That is why I had a little college underneath me, you know, under my belt. That's why I went in the Air Force. And I give great credit because what if I had not been fired? Would I still be working in the Hallmark card store, right? Would I still be working in a delicatessen I worked in at 17 years old? Probably not, knowing me, you know, but the thing is sometimes those setbacks, you know, those things that happen actually are like a kick in the butt to make you go after bigger and better things. And I'm glad I was fired. So I'm going to leave you with that one. Have you ever really thought about what is resilience, you know? How do you have it? By building strong relationships with people. I'm talking about connection with people. I'm not talking about getting on social media and getting, you know, 10,000 followers or anything like that. Yeah, I mean, there's a strategy to it. It's great, you know, to be able to talk about your business, your services, your company, you know, your nonprofit, things like that. But resilience is having good people in your life, whether it's a handful, whether it's 20 people. I mean, for me, it's got to be a small group under five, you know, that really have access to my circle and access to me. And it's so important because you want to have people. You want to definitely have people who have your back. And what I mean by that is when the chips are down and when you need support and you need help, can you call somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning and will they have your back? Or are they just there for the fun times? So it's really important to connect with people and not to stay isolated. Because what happens is social support, it reduces stress and it definitely improves recovery from adversity. Because your friends want you to succeed. And that's a really true good friend. Also, you know, encourages building a network before a crisis occurs when you have friends. Now, everybody's different. For me, when I'm going through a crisis, I kind of tend to stay, you know, to myself. I get really strong. I get really isolated. That's just me. And I often say I don't want to carry people with me through whatever trauma or experience I'm going through. That's not always the right thing to do. It's just the way I do things. But when you have a network of good people and friends and resources before crisis occurs, you know, you can reach out to them and say, whatever's going on, you know, I feel like I'm about to be fired from a toxic job, you know, or, you know, I'm not doing well with the dating, you know, dating career field, you know, if you're out there looking for dating, you know, to date and things like that. I mean, just having somebody to bounce ideas or to vent, that's really important. And another thing is, you know, mental health is really declining lately. I see that because today I'm driving the speed limit and I got some Yahoo behind me. This is in Asheville, right? This is down by the River Arts District. Some Yahoo is behind me slamming, just honking the horn because he wanted me to go faster. Now I was already going the speed limit. And, you know, I didn't give him the finger. I did put my finger up and, you know, I'm like, knock it off. And he did. And what I was doing was I was going the speed limit, but I was looking for parking. But, you know, people, they're stressed out. Why they're stressed out, there's probably 100 million reasons why today. I mean, the world is very divided, and it seems like it's getting more and more approval in our culture, in our communities, you know, that people can be nasty and get away with it. And that's so wrong because that's what destroys our communities and destroys people, and it has a rippling effect on it. So look for good people in your life, good resources, good connections, and also, you know, they have to be meaningful relationships. I mean, not just somebody that you want to, you know, be popular and have fun times with, but somebody that, like I said earlier, that'll have your back is really important because the support system that you have, it's going to be one of your greatest resilience tools. I assure you. I can't tell you how many times I have reached out, you know, to a loved one that was there for me, who didn't do a lot, but listen. And sometimes that's all you need. And that's what I needed most of the time. And how many times have you tried to control things? And I was just talking to a friend earlier about someone I had to let go of in my life because they were always trying to control me. If I was driving and they were sitting next to me, even though I'm going the speed limit, I'm in the right lane. Oh, you need to get around this person. You need to go around. And this would happen about three times during a drive. And I finally realized this person has a control problem and is trying to control me. And it's unacceptable. And, you know, other things built up. I finally had to say, you know, bye-bye. I was very professional and very respectful about it. But I'm like, friends don't harass friends. Let them go. Because if somebody's draining you, that is the last person you need to be with. Let them go. So focus on what you can control. And let's talk about that when it comes to resiliency. Because you know what? Stress grows when we spend energy on things outside our control. Okay? I cannot worry about things. Well, I can worry, but it's pointless to worry about things that are out of my control. But what can I do? Well, sit down and calm down. I like to meditate or get real quiet. Maybe it's in prayer. Maybe, again, meditation. Asking myself, you know, even asking God, asking my support team, as I call it, my spiritual support team, what is it that I need to know at this time? And just be quiet. Listen. See what comes back. It might amaze you. Sometimes I've heard, be patient, you know. I've even heard to meditate on things. So give it a shot. So there's some things, you know, we should have concerns about. Yeah, you know, we don't want to drive recklessly on the road, on the highway, you know, and there's some things that we can influence, you know, like let's talk about politics for just a quick second, you know, not the different parties, but we have lots and lots and lots of opinions out there and people's belief systems and what their values are might be different than yours and mine. So do we have an influence on somebody who wants to vote differently than us? No, we really don't. I've always found that the best way is to be a role model, and the people who want to follow you or emulate you or hang out with you, they're going to do it. And you're not going to influence anybody by blasting them on social media about how stupid they are for voting for XYZ or, you know, being in a certain party. Think about it. When has bad mouth in anybody trying to influence them, to change them, when has it ever changed anybody? Think about it for a second. One thing I love talking about is directing our energy toward actions rather than worries. Folks, I'll be the first one to tell you. I get it naturally. I can be very high strung, very much a type A personality. And that works great for a lot of the work I do, you know, to have that high energy and, you know, go, 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 go. It can also be a downfall when you're always worrying all the time. You can't worry about everything. It will wear you out faster than anything else. So the best thing is to direct the energy toward actions that you want. If you want an outcome, you know, a better outcome, stop focusing on what you're worried about. I'm talking about, you know, like the worst scenario, you know, oh my God, it's the end of the world, you know, I'm about to get fired, for example. That might be true, but you don't want to put your energy there because it'll expand. It truly will. What you want to do is start working, putting that energy toward the actions that you want, the outcome that you want. Okay. Are you about to be fired? Possibly, possibly not. Is your resume or your CV, is it updated? Most people's are not. You know, and of course, you want it to be a target resume for different types of jobs. One resume does not fit all, folks. I'm telling you, I'm a 33-year plus human resource specialist. It does not. It's better than nothing, but it is not a good idea. Are you financially set? If you're out every day eating out, having expensive coffees, more power to you if you have that kind of money. But the thing is, if you don't have a lot of money, you know, they say 6 months of income should you lose your job. If you don't have money put away for that rainy day and that rainy day happens, well, guess what? You're going to be doing all kinds of chaotic, crazy, that's what I call it, things that so you can survive. I mean, you may end up having to put a lot of things on your credit card, and my God, that can get you in world's trouble. So the thing is that when you know, for example, you're in a toxic relationship, toxic job, whatever, what are the next steps? You know, it might be to get yourself mentally toughened. You may need to see a counselor, a mental health professional, your rabbi, your pastor, your priest, somebody you can trust, but also taking the steps that also are going to get you out of that situation, move you forward into what you want. So start taking those actionable steps, even if they're small. So, you know, when it comes to the workplace, I can tell you this, everyone, when there's any kind of organizational change where employees can't control company decisions, the thing is that they can control their attitude, they can control preparation, and they can't, you know, communicate. And I always encourage employees to ask, you know, can I give feedback to this situation? And if it's a job where you can't give feedback, you have to decide whether it's worth staying in that job or if it's time to move away. So you can control your responses even when you can't control the situation, whatever it is. Remember, you don't have to stay in a job where you don't feel valued, feel meaning. It's not all about making a whole lot of money, because I know a lot of people, even myself, who've made, you know, really good money, and we were in very toxic jobs and I couldn't get out of there faster. In fact, some of the worst paying jobs I've ever done. And I'm talking about less than $10 an hour. Now, mind you, I'm retired from the Air Force, so I have income coming in. But some of the least worst paying jobs were the funnest, and I did it because of the experience and because it was fun and enjoyable, like working at the Biltmore State. I made more than $10 an hour, but not much, and that was back about, I want to say, close to 20 years ago, decorating the Christmas holidays and stuff, and I worked in the floral department, and it was fun. It was creative. It's quite interesting. So one of the other steps, too, about being more resilient is to strengthen your physical and your mental well-being. When I talk about your physical, to the best of your ability, especially when you're under stress and trauma, is be mindful about clean eating. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I love chips. I'm not much of a cake eater or dessert eater, but I love my salty things. And when I get stressed, I could just, you know, see myself, you know, grabbing a bag of chips and crunching down. I mean, but you got to have good, healthy food so that your body is functioning properly. Because when your body starts to break down or you have problems, how are you going to be there for other people? Especially, how are you going to be there for yourself? And I think right now, I'm seeing so much decline in mental well-being and health. We still have stigma with men having, you know, talking about mental health, which I believe is wrong. It's very important that we talk about mental health and that we encourage people to get counseling, to get support, you know, get spiritual advice if that's your thing, and to not stigmatize mental health, because it affects every one of us. I know I spent over 20 years in the Air Force with mostly men, and I know I loved working with them. I love, you know, just the directness and the assertiveness and things, you know, some of the things that, well, that's kind of a male energy. I loved it. It worked well. But those guys, I can honestly say, they suffered as much as me when we went through a bad experience. And so we do need to watch out for everyone. And especially watch out and encourage men to take care of their mental health well-being. Because in the end, you know, sleep, exercise, nutrition, and recovery, it improves our emotional resilience. And stress management practices, such as mindfulness, and I've talked about mindfulness in other episodes, or deep breathing can help regulate emotions. I'll give you a good example. If you're ever stressed out, it's called the 5-6. You breathe in through your nose for 5 seconds. Hold it for a few seconds at least. And then, like you're blowing out through a straw, for 1 second longer than that you breathe in. So if you breathe in 5 seconds, count to 6, blowing out like you're blown through a straw. Do it 3 or 4 times and you're going to notice it resets your nervous system. It might take a few times to do it, but you will definitely see a change, a shift in your energy and your nervous system re-regulating. So it's really important to practice those habits. And everybody has to breathe. So you don't have to do it in front of other people and they're wondering, what is she doing over there? What is he doing? Go to the bathroom and do it for a few seconds. So these small daily habits often matter more than occasional big efforts, you know? So let's say if we were to compare resilience to a smartphone battery, the thing is, with a smartphone battery, and I do have a smartphone, you have to recharge it daily rather than waiting until it's completely dead. There's a good example. So self-care, it really is preparation for all your future opportunities and challenges. Embrace it. Lastly, I'm going to leave you with this. Develop purpose and gratitude. One of my habits I do every night, unless I get so sleepy and forget. I think, and some people journal on it, they'll write it down. I think about all the things I'm grateful for, because when you're grateful for things, then it changes, shifts your energy, your frequency, if you want to say that. And then you notice more things to be grateful for. And some people swear that it comes back that you even have more to be grateful for. And I do believe that. So people with a strong sense of purpose in their life, those people often recover more effectively from setbacks, because purpose does provide motivation during difficult times. Gratitude shifts attention toward what's still working and identifies personal values and meaningful goals. So I would encourage you, as we wrap up, write down some things that you're grateful for today. Some people feel like writing anchors it. You do what you feel is comfortable. I've never felt that I had to write it down. I just say it in my mind. You can say it out loud if you want. I mean, even the smallest things, you know, a stranger smiled at me today. I mean, and it made me feel good. Something worked in my favor, you know, or the price of gas went down 20 cents, you know, whatever it is. So write down things that really matter to you and in your go, you know, at your night. Some people like to start it out in the morning, but I like to wrap it up as I'm winding down all that I'm grateful for, mindful. I try to end the day calm, relaxed. I often will listen to meditation music right before I'm going to bed. That's really relaxing, just to get in that mindset to recharge my batteries. So my closing message for everyone today: resilience isn't about avoiding hardships, not at all. It's about developing the capacity to adapt, recover, and continue moving forward. Because every challenge you face, it's an opportunity to strengthen that capacity. And by changing your perspective, investing in relationships, the right ones, remember, focusing on what you can control, caring for your well-being, and staying connected to your purpose, you build resilience one choice at a time. In just about every episode, everyone, I always like to say, every day, you have the choice to be disempowered or empowered. Choose wisely. Now, if you need any help or support, please reach out. I'm always happy to refer you to people that can